Welcome to the Zesty Garden. It's our For Eat's Sake segment with Barney Northrup. He's the head chef at Herm's Inn. And today we're going to talk about one of my favorite vegetables, beets. And before you turn off the radio because you think, oh, you don't like beets, maybe it's just in the way that you prepare them, because I've had some of Barney's beets before on several different occasions, and they're absolutely delicious. Now, Barney, I will eat cold beets right out of the fridge, you know, once they've been cooked, and especially the small ones that I'll pull from the garden, and I cook in a pressure cooker for maybe 8 minutes just until they're done, and then stick them in a Tupperware container and take them to work the next day and eat them cold with a little bit of salt. Ay, they are so good.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, one of the best ways to use beets is in a beet salad, and you're not going to be using hot beets for a beet salad. And yes, they're going to be cooked because beets are an extremely tough vegetable. They're pretty hard. They take you cook in a pressure cooker. That's great. I typically don't have those at the restaurant.
Yeah.
And I'll either dry roast them or I'll braise them. And it really just depends on what we're going to do with them. But
let's talk about the dry roasting. So the pressure cooker is great if you want to get them cooked pretty quick. But mm-hmm. if you really want to draw out the sweetness and the flavor of the dry roasting can do, how do you do that? Do you cut them up or do you just have uniform
sizes? No, I'll roast them whole.
Okay.
So the first thing you want to do is you want to wash them really well. We had a conversation earlier where we were talking about how people say, oh, well, beets taste like dirt. And I don't remember the name of the compound.
The chemical.
Yeah.
So the chemical compound we're talking about is, if I'm pronouncing this right, is geosmin. And it's responsible for the muddy smell in many of the commercially important freshwater fish, such as carp and catfish.
Mm-hmm.
And it breaks down in acid conditions like vinegar and other acidic ingredients. That's why it's used in fish recipes to help reduce the flavor. And it also, it's that smell right after a rainstorm.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same chemical. Now, humans, I know, are super, super sensitive to this. Mm-hmm. And some humans are more sensitive than others. So I must not have quite the sensitivity to this chemical as others. Maybe that's one of the reasons why I love beets.
Or maybe you just don't have an aversion to it. I love the smell of a rainstorm.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think most people do, because there's just tiny bits of this compound, and so you get a little more beets.
I do know that some people don't appreciate that
really?
Smell.
I've never met anyone that doesn't.
I have. It's, yeah. But it's also generally a very small amount of people that I meet from my customer base that don't like the taste of beets, but I do every once in a while get the, I don't like beets. They taste like dirt.
It's so kind of, that's one reason why you clean them, to make sure you get as much of that off
make sure
as possible.
That what they're not tasting is actual dirt. So baby beets are my favorite way to deal with beets. I trim off the greens. You can use them. I've used them in many
right
different
salads.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can braise up the greener part of the green. There's the stem to the green, and I've pickled those, just a simple quick pickle, and they're great. They're a great addition to salads. But we're talking about the beet itself. Mm-hmm. I'll trim off the greens as close to the flesh as possible. And then take each beet, you know, we'll wash them in a large batch, however many I've got. I just typically rinse them off and let them soak for about 20 minutes and then pull them out of that soaking water. I won't pour it off.
Just a lukewarm water?
Water? Room temperature is good. Any sediment that's on them will typically settle to the bottom of whatever container you're soaking them in. And that's why I pull them out by hand rather than dumping them off, because if you dump them off, they're just going to get that stuff right back on them. After that, I'll take each one and with a damp cloth, rub the skin, make sure that they're clean. You'll typically notice that your cloth will get pretty dirty. So there's been some that they're grown in the dirt, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. so let's get that off. And then from there, it's really simple. If you're dry roasting, like we were talking about, Toss them in olive oil or whatever type of cooking oil you prefer to use. I'll typically throw in some salt and pepper, just not necessarily a whole lot, just a little bit to give them some seasoning. Now, you're going to be pulling the skins off of these, so a whole lot is not necessary.
After they're done cooked, you're going to be pulling the skins off. Okay.
And then...
So what temperature...
350. I'll cook almost every single thing at 350 degrees. There are exceptions, of course. You know, if you're doing a slow braise, then we're gonna go at a lower temperature. If I'm cooking something like pizza, I'm gonna go at 400 degrees or above with pizza dough. But other than that, just about every single thing can be made between the range of 325 and 350 degrees. So
we're talking beets that are like what, about an inch?
Yeah, I mean, golf ball sized or smaller.
Smaller.
Yeah. You've got your beets. They're cleaned. They're tossed in olive oil. A little bit of salt and pepper, and then you'll want to make a kind of an envelope or a pouch of aluminum foil. So you'll pull off, let's say we're baking these on a cookie sheet, right? You need a piece of foil that's just over twice as long as the cookie sheet. So you lay it on the cookie sheet with an even amount hanging over each side, place the beets in the middle, and you don't want them piled up. You only want one beet deep. You don't want them packed too tightly.
It sounds like you're doing a tinfoil dinner. For the fire.
Yeah, kind of, but we're not going to be packing it tight.
Right,
we want it loose. We want the steaming to do the cooking. And you can add, so typically what I'll throw in is a few ice cubes. We always have ice in a restaurant, but you know, it's easy to control the distribution of where that water will be, and it's really easy to control the amount of water that'll be in there. But yeah, so we'll be steaming them essentially in an aluminum foil pouch. Anyway, so you've got your beets, they're laid out. You close up the foil and crimp the edges. And it doesn't need to be a super tight crimp. You know, you're going to want to be able to open it up and check on them. But, you know, your cooking time is going to be based on the size of the beets. And I generally will start with about 45 minutes, 350. And then carefully open up your pouch because, you know, we're steaming them. You don't want to get a steam burn. And you don't want to rip a hole. You'll want to unfold one of your corners that you've crimped shut. And I'll do a tester, you know, and it's a simple fork test, just like you would with just about any vegetable if you're baking a potato or something.
So if it slides right in.
Yeah, if it's still tough, then it's too tough to eat. If it's going in easily, then you're going to be able to eat it easily. Once they're done, I'll just pull them out and let them sit for about 15 or 20 minutes until they're ready to handle, you know. And then before you cool them down, you like to eat them cold. But before you were to...
Don't get me wrong, I'll eat them warm too.
Yeah. But yeah, you're going to want to pull the skins off when they're warm. It'll be a lot easier to pull the skins off when they're warm. So if you're using red beets, I suggest using gloves if you can, or paper towels or something to be a barrier, because your hands will turn very red.
There's a reason that the industry uses beet juice for coloring things.
Oh, yeah.
So do you leave the tops... And typically when I'm doing a pressure cooker, mm-hmm. I'll leave a little stub of the root and a little bit of the stems on the top mm-hmm. before I peel them afterward. And that keeps the juice from really bleeding out. Mm-hmm. Do you do that with roasting them?
Like I'd said, before I roast them, I'll trim the stems down as close as I can to the flesh.
Okay.
But there is a piece on the top it's not as desirable to eat.
Yeah. So, but that will come off after they're cooked.
You can trim that away. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, enjoy them hot, enjoy them cold. I like beets with goat cheese a lot. You know, we've got...
Just like just a little bit you would sprinkle over the top or...
Yeah. Yeah. Or make it into a salad or But yeah, beets with goat cheese, they love each other.
or take it to work and eat it the next day, yep. Like I do. Yep. So this sounds like this is a method that you could use for other types of root vegetables. You just wouldn't do it as long for carrots, of course, because they're not as dense.
No. Yeah, beets are extremely dense. I think a lot of people don't like to work with them. Yeah, they do take a little bit more work than other vegetables, but I think...
But they're so easy to grow.
They are.
And you can leave them in the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Just like you do carrots, mm-hmm. put leaves over the top and then go out and pull the leaves off and dig up what you want. And there's something about January-grown beets and carrots that they're just already so sweet. So tell me what's happening in this process. What makes the beet just get that much more flavorful?
Well, I mean, as with just about any fruit or vegetable, as they sit, starches are converting into sugars. And so, yeah, you say they're so sweet. They are very sweet because all winter long, those starches have been converting into sugars. So you're getting more flavor compounds than you would if you were to pull it up in the fall. There are other ways. You can store them in a root cellar if your basement isn't too damp. I've heard of people, they'll pull their beets and they'll store them in sand.
Sand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or straw or something dry because you don't want them to be in a moist environment. But the longer they sit to a certain degree, they will be getting more flavorful. And also as they lose moisture content, they're just concentrating the flavor. Mm. So
what's happening in the cooking process? Why does cooking them this way with steam, what does that do to them?
Well, the adding the water cuts down on the cooking time. So the less you have to cook them, the less chance you have of burning them. So
yeah.
Because you will notice as you pull them out that they are browned on the outside. We had spoken earlier about Maillard reaction and how it creates new flavor compounds. So anytime you have amino acids and sugars and a temperature over 300 degrees, you are creating new flavor compounds. That's why a charbroiled steak tastes the way that it tastes rather than tasting like raw meat. You know, it's actual new flavor compounds. It's when you're making caramel. Caramel does not taste like sugar. It tastes like caramel because of those new flavor compounds that are being formed at the higher temperatures. So
today's vegetable we're recommending to do is beets.
Baby beets, if you can.
Yes. And then does this same cooking process, it doesn't matter what type of beets you're using?
No. So recently, and we discussed this, but recently I used three different types of beets for the same method, and I used... red beets, gold beets, and chioga, or the candy stripe.
The ones, yeah, that look like bullseyes when you cut into them.
Yeah, they're beautiful. So, yeah, but it'll work for any method of beet. So,
okay. Barney, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Zesty Garden. It's our For Eat's Sake segment. Barney Northrup is head chef at Herm's Inn in Logan.